Other man, Jesus, he wasn't any, he wasn't any other man. God and totally man, he came here to save and not to condemn. He came down to earth to fulfill a master plan. Jesus, he wasn't any, yeah, no, he wasn't any other man. Yes, he was totally God and totally man. Totally God and totally man. He came here to save and not to condemn. He came down to earth to fulfill a master plan. Because you see, he wasn't any other man. Any other man. Wasn't any. Hallelujah. How many is glad? Hallelujah. He came and died for you. And he was totally man. He came here to save and not to condemn. He came down to earth to fulfill a master plan. Because Jesus, he wasn't just no ordinary man. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Woo, hallelujah, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, the mighty God, Adaboshata, the perfect sacrifice. And not to condemn, he came down to earth to fulfill a master plan. Jesus wasn't any other man. Any other man. Any other man. Sentenced to be killed. Would have begged for mercy from the courts that day. Any other man. Who had seen his mother's grief. Would have called the waiting angels to escape. But Jesus, yes, Jesus, he wasn't any other man. Yes, hallelujah. I wish somebody right now would think about his sacrifice. Hallelujah. His blood washed you clean. His blood set you free. Woo! He wasn't. Yes. Wasn't any other man. Totally God and totally man. He came here to save, no, and not to condemn. He came down to earth to fulfill a master plan. Jesus, he wasn't any other man. Totally God and totally man. He came here to save and not to condemn. He came down to earth to fulfill a master plan. Jesus, my very best friend. Hallelujah. He wasn't another man. He was God manifest in the flesh. Justified of the Spirit, seen of angels, preached to the Gentiles. Whoa! Any other man.
Praise the Lord. Let's lift up our hands tonight. Hallelujah. Let's thank Him for His love and His mercy. Thank You, Lord, that we know who You are tonight. Oh, God, You're the King of kings and Lord of lords. You're the Almighty God. We praise You tonight. We magnify Your name. You're worthy to receive honor and glory. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Oh, yes. Let's praise Him for a moment. Power of the Holy Ghost is in the house. Oh, yes, Lord. Thank You, Lord, for the revelation of who You are tonight. Thank You, Lord, that we know You're the mighty God in Christ, the King of kings and Lord of lords, the Almighty God. We praise You, O Lord. We magnify You, dear God. Oh, we exalt Your name. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord tonight. Blessed be Your name. Oh, reach out to Him. He is here tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just tell Him what your needs are tonight. Oh, just praise His name tonight. Oh, I give You glory. I give You honor. I magnify You. I exalt You, O Lord, the King of kings and Lord of lords. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, blessed be Your holy name, dear Jesus. Blessed be Your holy name, dear Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Oh, glory to Your name, dear Jesus. Glory to Your name, dear Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Beautiful presence of the Holy Ghost we feel in the house tonight. You may be seated. Amen. We have been enjoying the study in the book of Luke. Amen. Open your Bibles with me tonight to Luke chapter 18. And we are going to get into the Word of God here. One of the things that I want to point out to you tonight again is the fact that when the Bible was written, Luke did not pen chapters and verses. Luke wrote these letters, and later on, the translators, they came along, and they did their best to try to break things up so it would make it easy for us to find it. But as in the case, Luke chapter 18, we're going to begin with verse 35 tonight. In the case here that we're at tonight, Luke 18, verses 35 through 43, and Luke 19, verses 1 through 10, all go together because of the events happening in the same location and at very close corresponding times. So we're going to put these verses together tonight. We're breaking chapters on you because we get some really good information when we take a look at these two events that happened in the area of Jericho. All of us, I'm sure, tonight have heard of Jericho. And if you haven't, there's a great little kid song that go around with that. And Joshua fought the battle of Jericho. Amen. And us adults, we like singing that song too. Hallelujah. Amen. Joshua fought the battle of Jericho. 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 Joshua fought the battle of Jericho, and the walls came tumbling down. You may talk about them. Amen. We'll have to. Amen. Get back and get the words on that one. That's a good one. Hallelujah. I believe that that has roots back to a spiritual song that the slaves would sing while they were working in the fields. So, we're going to read Luke 18, verses 35 through 43, and then continue on in Luke 19, verses 1 through 10. Luke 18 and 35, we're just going to start out there and just take off and read it tonight. Us guys are going to read the odd verses, and the ladies can read the even verses. Man, we're going to be the odd ones out tonight. Oh. Hallelujah. Well, maybe. Luke 18 and 35, guys. And it came to pass that as he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passed by. And they which went before rebuked him, and he should hold his peace. And he cried so much the more, "Thy Son of David, have mercy on me." Saying, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" And he said, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." And Jesus said unto him, "See thy sight, and immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God, and all the people saw it and gave praise unto God. Okay, guys, we get to read verse 1 and 19 because that's an odd verse. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Zacchaeus. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was a little of stature. And when Jesus came to the place, and he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, "Zacchaeus, make haste, come down, for today I must abide at thy house." And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Jesus said unto him, "This day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also a son of Abraham." All right. Okay, that's it. We end at verse 10. Amen. Thank you so much. Hallelujah. So, as we begin here, there was a certain blind man set by the wayside begging. We definitely realized in this society, in this time period, that there was no gainful employment for a blind person. There was no way that they could be productive and make a living. And so as a result of that, they were dependent upon the generosity of their fellow brothers and sisters. So we automatically know they had a pretty rotten lot in life. Because mankind is not very generous. So, they were definitely the oppressed in society. They were at the bottom of the list, at the bottom of the rung. They automatically knew that their fight was just for survival. It wasn't a fight to see what kind of luxuries, what kind of posh living they could obtain. There was no status for them to gain. There was no power for them to gain. There was no popularity that they could have. It was just a day-to-day existence for trying to have something to eat, trying to have creature comforts, clothes to wear, and stay away from all the terrible elements that make life uncomfortable. So here he was sitting on the road to Jericho begging, And once again, we find the multitude that came by. These were people that were looking after and following after Jesus. Also on this road, we realized there was a lot of Jews that were making their pilgrimage to Jerusalem. And, you know, it was kind of a prime begging spot, because people that were going and trying to make peace with God were a lot better prospect if they realized that they needed to obey the Word of God and have mercy on the poor. But yet the multitude here, when he asked, they told him it was Jesus of Nazareth that passes by. The term Jesus itself, the name Jesus itself in that time period, probably wasn't unique, because again, names have meanings, and if you've got a popular meaning, then, and that's what you do, you name your children after it. I'm sure there's a lot of Native Americans that name their kids Running Bear and Little Fawn and Golden Eagle, etc., popular names, because they represented a great and wonderful idea. When you break down the name Jesus, it stands for Jehovah has become salvation. Technically, when you go all the way back to the Old Testament and you got the name Joshua, that is the Old Testament translation for the Jesus has become salvation. So they were giving him a distinction here and letting him know which person it was. It was the Jesus from Nazareth was the one that was coming. He was blind. He couldn't, you know, he couldn't tell by looking which Jesus it was, because he couldn't see nothing. But here's where the story gets really good and really, really interesting, because he begins to cry out and say, Jesus, and he doesn't say, Jesus of Nazareth. He begins to cry out, Jesus, thou son of David. And it doesn't take a very advanced biblical scholar to understand and to know that Jesus, the son of David, was the prophecy that was concerning the Messiah. Everyone, all of the Jews, knew that the Messiah that was coming would be tagged the son of David, because David was the king that everybody loved. He was the beloved king. He was the one that had obtained the greatest peace and the greatest victories for the kingdom of Israel. And the writers of the Bible themselves tagged him that he was a man after God's own heart. So he was someone that had a relationship with God that was very, very special. And so it was promised that through his seed, God would send a great deliverer for his people. What was special about David? He made some very, very major, major mistakes in his life. He did some really stupid things in his life. He was totally human. He got tired. He got frustrated at times. The one time he was guarding the man's sheep and all of his property and taking good care of it, and they were having the harvest party, and he sent messengers and said, hey, can y'all guys, throw us the bread crust and the leftover sheep bones, and just send us a little bit of the leftover appetizers up here. We're kind of hungry. And the guy sent word back and said, who are you? Well, he knew just exactly who David was. He was the best thing since sliced bread for him. He had saved his world, a world of hurt. And like us, somebody totally abuses our friendship, abuses our hospitality, We have the ability. We want to get even with them. We want to fix their problem for them. And so that's what David did. He said, well, boys, we'll go introduce ourselves and demonstrate to him what our varied and wonderful abilities are. And so they strapped on their swords and got on their ugly look. Amen. Good to see you come in, sister. We've been praying for you. Amen. Thank you. Feeling better. Hallelujah. All right. Awesome. Yeah. Amen. So, David and his guys come headed down the trail. And you know what? It was a woman that saved David that time from getting in big trouble. He got in big trouble sometimes. He got in trouble one time because of all of the things that were going on. God said, you're not the number of the children of Israel. And he went and numbered the children of Israel. That's a whole different lesson why God didn't want him to number the children of Israel. And as a result of that, God slew 70,000 people. He says, you know, I'll take care of your number and system. I'll go kill a bunch of them off. So David, wow, you know, there were times that he did get in trouble. This particular time, though, Abigail, she loaded up, all the box goods that hadn't been put out yet and slapped them on the donkeys and headed down the trail and said, hey, do not get God mad at you because of this idiot down here. He's not worth it. That's basically what she said. And that's really good advice in our life. Sometimes we get all upset at people. They're not worth it. They're just not worth it. They're not worth it to raise your blood pressure. They're not worth it to ruin your day. They're not worth it to spend your energy and your time and your money on. You know, it costs money to sling mud. Mud slinging's not free. So, he was saved that time. There was times that he got in trouble. But David was a man that was described as having a repenting heart and a forgiving spirit. That when he was brought to the knowledge of his transgression, when the man of God came to him and told him, David, you have sinned against God, David would fall to his knees and begin to ask God to forgive him and admit his wrongdoing unto God. Say, well, yes, Lord, if you say it's wrong, it's wrong. He was one that was willing to listen to the man of God. And it brought greatness in his life because God was able to keep him from the dangers and the toils that was there. So this was who the son of David was. The Messiah, the one that the people loved, the great king that had destroyed all the enemies. Here was the beggar, the man that definitely wasn't educated, the man that had no social standing, the man that had a great need in his life, but he was someone that would open himself up and allow God to speak to his heart. That's the only way he got this, is that he sought God and said, Lord, who is this man? Who is Jesus of Nazareth? Lord, I need you. Is this your prophet? Who is he? And so he called out on the name of Jesus. The little nugget that if you don't get anything else, if you would take this home with you tonight, that when you have a need in your life, the first thing we need to do is call on Jesus. And you need to make that a part of your DNA. You need to make that a part of your automatic response system to call on the name of Jesus. I'm glad that it's a part of my wife, Sister Linda's automatic response in DNA. Because I was sitting at a red light in Little Rock, Arkansas, and there was this guy that was running from the cops. And I was at an intersection, and across the road in front of me was a one-lane road that suddenly come into this intersection. And I was going one way this way, and it was one way that way. There was cars lined up all across here. And when they come out of that road on the other side of the street, they were supposed to go right or left. Well, this guy running from the cops didn't realize that until he got right up to the intersection. Here he is, probably doing 110 miles an hour, headed straight towards us. And we began to hear the sirens, and we didn't know what was going on. And my wife looked across there and saw that vehicle headed straight towards us. And she had time enough to say, "Jesus!" And that guy jerked the wheel on that big SUV that he was driving. And it went on two wheels and tilted just enough. And the angels of the Lord jumped in that pickup truck that he T-boned and literally picked that guy up and stuck him on the other side of the seat. I mean, that had to be the angels of the Lord. I mean, you're sitting there in the driver's seat. There's a truck coming. All of a sudden, you're sitting over in the passenger side, and it runs into you. They didn't even take, 110 miles an hour, and a guy T-bones you in the side, and they didn't even take the guy to the hospital. You know? So you need to have the name of Jesus. Amen. I didn't get to see the truck coming. I was looking at the pickup truck. I got to saw the man levitate. Amen. And hear the name of Jesus being called. This is what this guy did. He called on the name of Jesus. And there's something important, too, is that we need to recognize when the Spirit of God is moving in our world. Yes, God is omnipresent, but it's like the wind. The wind is not always moving. And especially the power of God has times in our services when God is moving and when it's time to respond to God's presence, when God is... His power is concentrated because of all the prayer warriors that are there and because all the glory and all the experience that is there in devil fighting. And so the enemy is beat back. When you're in a situation and there is no one around you to help fight the world, you got a lot of enemies there. So when the God moments are there, when God is moving, that is the time to respond. It's the time to reach out to God. I've, as a preacher of the gospel, I've had people call me two or three hours after the service is over and say, "Preacher, you just got to come back to the church. I've got to pray." And I'm sorry to tell you tonight that very few of them receive anything when we go back to the church and pray, because they miss their God moment. The time to pray is when the altar call was. But they were still puffed up. They were still mad at somebody. They were still arguing with God. And they missed their God moment. You know, you may have to be like the Esau. If you miss your God moment, you may have to wrestle with God all night long. Hallelujah. But don't miss the moment. When God is moving, when God deals on your heart, it's always appropriate to pray, and it's always appropriate to talk to God, regardless of who we are, what we feel we are, whether we've lived for God for 45 years. You know, that sounds like a long time. It is a long time. But I've had the Holy Ghost for 45 years. Amen. I'm an old man. I had a guy Saturday that I hadn't saw in 15 years, and he came over and said, "When I looked over there, I thought I saw your dad sitting there." He knew my dad. And I said, "Yeah, that's the problem. When you get old, you look in the mirror, and your daddy looks back at you." Hallelujah. I realize that if we'll reach out to God, if we'll respond to God when He is moving, God can do a lot of things in our life. Some people will begin to make excuses. I've had the Holy Ghost, you know, many, many years. People are going to think that I'm backslid. People are going to think that, well, number one, whatever they think, just let them think it, you know, because if they're that spiritually immature, then they need to work on their spiritual radar anyway. And number two, there's a lot of times that I will pray for myself. You know, I have to deal with carnal people too. I had a real carnal situation I dealt with this week, and I had a lot of prayer for myself and dealing with it, and then more prayer after I got there. I think I was telling Brother Lee about it yesterday. They were just all been out of shape because their printer wasn't working, and it just had to be my fault that their printer wasn't working. And when I got there, somebody had unplugged it. You know, you're going to have to tell us how to fix this problem. It can't ever happen again. Well, you find out who unplugged it, and we'll make sure it don't happen again. I got to find somebody with a... Oh. Thank you, Jesus. We have that carnality. We deal with it. Hey, man, our flesh is there, and so hopefully we can get prayed through, you know, before church happens, and there's times the Word of God comes. And then there's lots of times that we need to be like Abraham. We need to go to the altar, and we need to intercede for people. Anytime you hear the Word of God, we try to take the Word of God and apply it to our life, but also our spiritual radar is out there, and our friends and our loved ones and people that we're working with, we see where that they are running contrary to the Word of God, where the Word of God is trying to reach into their life and should give us a burden and a desire that we would go to the altar and we would pray for these people and we would intercede for them. We would seek God for them, that God would touch and change their life. The word repentance does mean change. You know, and I've seen God change people from all kinds of works, walks of life. We've got to hurry here. We're talking about somebody at the bottom of the totem pole. I'll never forget what God did for Larry. I didn't really know what all God did for Larry at first. He came to church. We prayed for him. He's struggling with a lot of things. And then Larry began to talk to us about what all had happened and how God had touched his life and changed his life. You see, Larry was a crack addict. And up in Oklahoma City, he lived up there, and this is probably 20 years ago, so the prices, I'm sure, is a lot less than what they are now. But Larry had a $300 a day habit. And Larry made his habit by stealing stereos out of cars, rims off of cars, and breaking into houses and stealing televisions and silverware and guns. And he lived that way for several years. And God got a hold of Larry and delivered him. Amen. I saw Larry last week. You know what? He still had a suit and tie on. Amen. His eyes wasn't glassy. He hadn't been doing no crack. Amen. Hallelujah. It's been over 12 to 15 years, and Larry is still drug-free, still living for God. I want to tell you that if you will come to God and seek Him with a whole heart, He will change you. It's not a magic genie that God rubs a bottle and suddenly from here to there. There's some battles and some wars that you've got to win. You've got to win the battle right up here first. You've got to win the battle in your mind. You've got to have a made-up mind. I'm going to live for God whatever it takes. I'm not going to allow anything from the world drag me back into the world. And a lot of these addictions are the strings the devil's got so that he can take people captive at his own will, so he can drag them back into the lying, the cheating, the stealing, and the immorality. Amen. And so we get that made up mind, I'm going to live for God, and I'm going to pay the price. That's what happened to Zacchaeus. He was someone that was the rich man. He was the oppressor. He was the one that was mistreating people. But he had a great price that he had to pay in order to live for God. We all have a different price that we pay to live for God. But heaven is cheap at any cost. And as the prophet Isaiah described the things that are there, really what we are turning loose of and what we're getting in exchange for it is a really, really good deal. He talked about how that God will give us beauty for ashes. And I look in our world today, and they really have a handful of ashes. They have these dreams. They're going to be a movie star. They're going to be a professional athlete. They're going to be a country music singer. They're going to be a race car driver. They're going to be a doctor, a lawyer. They're going to be a model. They're going to be in the fashion industry. They've got all of these dreams. Sitting there, wrapped up in their addictions and in their dead-end lifestyle with nothing but ashes, burn-up dreams in their hands. And God gives them the beautiful gift of the Holy Ghost. And their life begins to change. And they begin to find purpose. And they begin to find footing. And they begin to find structure in their life. And begin to build God's way. See, that's another dangerous thing in our society today is our world looks at it and thinks that everything is instant. Instant pudding, microwave. Yeah. Is there such a thing as instant coffee? Oh, man. I know there is. I'm just giving you a hard time. There used to be a real popular thing when I was called instant tea. Yep, you just change them out. So, you have all these instant things, but there's a lot of problems with it. You're looking at the resources that it takes in order to make an instant product, you really have a lot less of what you're looking for than you would if you'd have done it right. Man, there's a lot that is destroyed in order to have that instant thing. So God don't want us to be shortchanged. He wants us to build a good, sure, solid foundation in all of it. So Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus, and he was a short little man. Man, the Bible is politically correct here. Doesn't call him short, does it? It says, because he was little of stature. Amen. But short, he wanted to see Jesus. And there was lots of people around him, so he climbed up in a sycamore tree. There were some of the scholars that think that maybe he climbed up in this tree because it has some very large leaves on it, and he thought he could hide in that tree. There has to be something to the fact that there's some hiding of as a possibility, because in verse 5 it says, when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. So, you know, he didn't see him from afar off. He came to the place and he looked up. So, sometimes we try to hide from. What did Adam and Eve do after they ate of the forbidden fruit? Put on the fig leaves and thought they'd get away from God. He that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, unto him it is sin. Thank God that we cannot hide from him. It is human nature sometimes to try to hide. If hiding don't work, then the next thing the human nature comes down through is we try to justify it. If we can't cover it up and make it go away like it never happened, then we begin to try to prove to the world that it's really not that bad because everybody else is doing something that's worse. Or somebody else got away with it, and so I deserve to get away with it. Yeah, that's a pretty good indication it's not your fault. I've done a little jail ministry in my life, and it's interesting to talk to some of those guys. You come up to them and say, why are you here? I don't know. I was just walking down the road, and the police stopped by and put handcuffs in me and brought me here, and they haven't told me nothing. I'm sure that could happen. But I knew those old boys too well. Hallelujah. But God will look out and he will reach out to us and he will call to us. And we've got to hear his call. Because Zacchaeus made haste and came down and received him joyfully. When God called, he received him joyfully. And then we see that he made the promise that he was going to give away half of his goods to the poor. And it just got through saying at the top that he was rich. Earlier, I missed one thing on the blind beggar. I'll go back to in just a second. Earlier in the passage, we read about the rich young ruler that came to Jesus and said that he had done everything. And Jesus told him that thou art to give all that thou hast. And he didn't do it. Well, Zacchaeus didn't give all that he had. But yet, at the end and the conclusion, Jesus said, salvation has come to thy household. Brother Lee? Yes, but all of it is heart condition. What is the attitude of what they're doing? It's obvious the rich young ruler that he worshipped his money. His money was more important to him than God. And so he had to get rid of this other God before Jesus could become his God. And that doesn't mean that money is wrong and that we are not to have any money. But if we begin to worship money, then money becomes wrong to us. We have people today that worship all kinds of different things. They have things that are more important to them than God. And that's when we get in trouble. It's when we exalt something and it has a greater priority in our life than God does. And so that's the point and the principle. One quick note here on the blind man. In verse 42, and Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight, thy faith hath saved thee. And then it said, immediately he received his sight. It didn't say that thy faith has healed thee. And you look in the Greek, and that is a Greek word for save. That is there. So, again, that lets us know and lets us understand that God's mission was to change the eternal destination of the soul. Yes, He does care about our suffering. Yes, He does care about our pain. But the thing that matters is the condition of our hearts. And he reaches out and he does a lot of things for us in order to help us keep our hearts in the right condition and in the right place. Verse 10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. So here in Jericho, we have the blind man, which was the oppressed. We have Zacchaeus, the rich man, which was the oppressor, the one that took advantage of people and stole from them and robbed them. And today we call that Exxon and Mobil and Conoco and Phillips 66. It's real simple. The oil companies are very, very greedy. Their day will come. Amen. They will all stand before God. There will be a reckoning day for that which is greed. The oppressors of the poor, God has promised to hear their cry. But God reaches out to people on both sides when their heart is hungry for that which is real, when they desire. And we can't write people off just because of a preconceived idea of their social status or who they are. God's power can reach out to everywhere and touch people and change them and do a work in their life. Was it impossible for God to heal the blind? No, it wasn't. Did it right here. He healed the blind man. The man could see. God did it, and the man used what God had done then to be a part of the kingdom of God. He came and he followed after Jesus. So whatever our ailment is, whatever our obstacle is, Zacchaeus's obstacle was money. That was something that was in his way, and God worked with him, and he received the way in order to overcome that obstacle and get closer to God. Whatever is there, whatever we're struggling with, we call on Jesus. We bring Jesus home with us. A lot of people get in trouble because they feel like that they meet Jesus at church, but Jesus don't go home with them. Jesus was sitting on your couch tonight, you think he'd drink a Budweiser with you? Jesus was sitting on your couch, you think he would join in that story that's being told? You know what kind of story it is. You think Jesus would get up and clap to the music that's being played? When we take Jesus home with us, amen, it helps the environment. It helps what's going on. Amen. And I know that all of us will find ourselves in environments and situations that even Jesus is uncomfortable with. I think about one of my work environments that I go to, and it's against all the company policy that is there, they work really hard, but there's still people there that have potty mouths, and their potty mouths are running, and doing everything they can to take care of that problem, but it's a problem. We're going to see it. We're going to go to Walmart, and there's going to be all kinds of garbage on the stand there as you walk up, and all these type of things around us.
But our home is that castle. That is the place that God wants to be. And there's even times that, you know, we have to stay places. Not everything is kosher. Not as always the way that we like it to be. But if we would just keep calling on the name of Jesus, amen, He will help us get to where we want to go. We may not be where we want to go tonight. I know I'm not where I want to be tonight in all the facets and all the avenues of my life. I know there's things that God is going to change over the next few years. Amen. We're not going to be at 229 North Main 10 years from now. Amen. Where we're going to change. There's change that is coming. And we keep seeking after God, and we keep taking God with us wherever we go. And let's stand together tonight, and let's have a prayer and say, God, amen, let me take you with me when I leave this house tonight. Dear God, Lord, you see each and every one of us, oh God, to some degree, in some way, God, we want you to go with us when we leave the house of God tonight, oh God. Lord, we know that you promised us that have the Holy Ghost that you would never leave us nor forsake us, that your Spirit would dwell in us. God, we have your word tonight, oh God. Oh God, you promised us, Lord, that when we hide your word in our heart, we will not sin against you. We want to take this word, oh God, and we want it to be precious, oh God. Oh Lord, we love you tonight, God. We're thankful for your love. We're thankful for your mercy. We're thankful for your goodness. Oh God, we love you, dear Jesus. Blessed be your name, oh God. Hallelujah, our King, our Redeemer, our Savior, our God. Oh, blessed be the holy name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for all that you've done. Thank you, Jesus, for your goodness. Thank you, Jesus, for your mercy. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. So great to have each and every one of you here with us in the house of God tonight. Amen. Thank you for making a sacrifice and coming tonight. Amen. Lord bless you. You're dismissed in the name of Jesus. Shake hands and be friendly. Remember, we're still the friendliest church in town.